Hello, Northeast Christian Church, and welcome to our online services. Thank you for joining us today. If you miss any part of today's service and you want to catch it again, you can do so by checking us out on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or Spotify. We also encourage you to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to stay up to date on everything we have going on here at the church. God bless and enjoy the rest of the service.
Today is a great day because we are doing two things that are a part of the regular rhythm of the church according to Jesus, and that is water baptism and communion. And so we are happy for those, everybody that is getting baptized today. I'm sorry I'm going to put you on the spot. You're newer here, but I would just ask for you to just to stand up real quick and wave and listen to how excited these people are. If you're here and you're getting baptized, stand to your feet and wave. See that? We're excited about this stuff here. And what I figured would be making sense, because we do communion usually on the first Sunday of every month, just to keep this a regular thing. These are two things that Jesus said. He said, go into all the world, teaching them to obey me. And he said a whole bunch of things, but he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So baptism in following Christ is a step, but what is all of the embedded meaning to that? And so this is important, and we figured we'd talk about it for those of us that know it to get a little excited again. And for those of us that are getting baptized, that this is a fuller, richer, realistic experience. I thought when I came to Jesus that I was going to love God, repent of my sins, get baptized in water, and never break the Ten Commandments again for the rest of my life. And what a shock that was. But there's this thing that God has after water baptism called sanctification. And what God does is that he forgives us of our sin, and we exchange our sinfulness for his righteousness. And he understands that we're human, we're still living in the flesh. Well, the only time you will be done with that drive to do the wrong thing will be when you pass away. Until the day I die, I will have temptations. But there's power in Jesus for me to overcome those things. And my life challenge now is to live for Jesus. But here's the thing. How many of you have, this is rhetorical, how many of you having toddlers learning to walk, you know, the second that a kid fell down, a parent was like, get back up, you know? Like, that's crazy. That's abusive. Well, it's the same with Jesus Christ. When you give your life to him, and those of you getting baptized today, you're going to begin your walk with Jesus, but you may find that finding your feet might take some time. God is not interested in perfection. He's interested in direction to and towards him, living for him. And I want you to know something. Water baptism is all about the grace of God. So what we're going to do is talk about baptism, and then we're going to baptize people. And before we bust out the doors, we're going to talk about communion, and we're going to keep our tradition of the first Sunday of every month. And the elders of this church are going to come forward, and they're going to lead us in communion. And we will leave here having done everything Jesus told us to do about the gospel, a full big picture. So pray with me real quick. Lord, today, it's a special day. Today is a day where we get to see people who have made the decision to allow you to be Lord of their life, but are going to have to learn and grow in it, but are doing the step that you called them to do, to be baptized. And it seems ridiculous. Why do I have to go in a bunch of water? Lord, sometimes if we can't do the simple things, then it would be harder for us to do the difficult things. And so I thank you for them. Maybe they're afraid of crowds. Maybe they're embarrassed that their makeup will run and their hair will be wet. But they're doing it because they love you, and it's the next step in their walk. And I pray it would be one that would never disappoint them for the rest of their life. And we pray for communion as we remember your death and resurrection. We look forward to the hope that you've given the human race for those that would choose it. And we thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me just say something. You're looking at a picture. One of my area of my doctoral studies and my area of expertise is the original way things were done. Now, it's not just Jewish stuff, but it's also the way and the place, the physical place where it was done, how the early church did it, history and all that. But you're looking at most likely the place where Jesus got baptized, which to me is pretty cool. And I got the privilege when I was in Israel to swim in that water. I'd been baptized before, so I was kind of like, I'm good. But there's nothing wrong, by the way, with deciding, you know what, I was baptized as a kid, or I was baptized and I fell away from a walk with Jesus. My grandma used to take me to church. I got baptized, but this means something to me now. I want to be baptized. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But John the Baptist is sitting out there, and there's a verse that's it's in Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. And he says, now, when all the people were being baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, the Holy Spirit descended on him in the bodily form of a dove, and a voice was heard from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. I don't know, for those of you being baptized, baptizos, what do we call them? Baptinators. We get those getting baptized, the holy dipped crew. I don't know what your relationship with your father on earth was. Mine was precious, but when I say my father, fathers are precious. Some of you, your father was he was abusive. He was difficult. He was argumentative. He was drunk. He was on sometimes and way off others. I don't know what it is, but I want you to hear this. When it comes to the Bible and the Lord's Prayer, our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your Father in heaven is not an abusive father. He is a good father. He is a loving father. He is a caring father. He wants the best for your life. He is a patient father that he doesn't get up disappointed with you when you're trying to do the right thing and you stumble and you fall. He comes up like any other normal good dad would and says, oh, you okay? Gives you a hug and keeps you going until you learn how to walk, until you learn how to move quick and eventually run your life in a way that he is in the stands saying, you've got this. I don't know if you grew up with a dad in the stands when you were playing sports or doing tournaments or anything like that, but your heavenly father is not your earthly father, and he screams here today when you're getting baptized, this is my daughter. This is my son. This is the one that I am pleased with. And he says this, he says, hear this. How many of you, in one of the other gospels, he says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. You know what? When God becomes this, when Jesus Christ becomes the center of your life and you begin to learn how to walk and to jog and then eventually run, God is going to begin, as you open up his word, to pour things into your life, and you're going to have something to say that you've learned from him, and you'll be able to go up to your friends and say, yeah, I know I was an addict, but I'm not an addict anymore. And the reason is because Jesus said, is if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. All things become new. You can be free too. You may turn around and say, you know what? I knew that I was cheating five times over, or I thought I was a good person and didn't realize that I had respectable sins, and I didn't realize that God was a loving heavenly father. I didn't realize the church was something that wasn't just for Easter and for Christmas, but that God loved me and he wanted to be the number one cheerer in the stands for me. And today God in heaven is in the bandstands and he's saying, you've got this. This is my son. This is my daughter in whom I am well pleased. And they're going to have stuff to say and their life is going to be on display. And listen to them. Listen to them. You might be introverted and you might say, yeah, terrified having conversations with more than two or three people. Guess what? That Jesus changed the world just talking to 12. You don't have to become something you're not. God made you the way you are. You're not a mistake. There's no fingerprint that's the same. There's no snowflake alike. God made you the way you are, who you are, where you are, when you are, around the people you are. And the results are not your worry. Just being a follower of Jesus, that's what he says. He just said, follow me, follow me, follow me. Follow me into baptism. Now, there's some cool background to baptism. Normally Christians, this is actually in the Jordan River. If you ever go to Israel, everybody's like freaking out. They're like, I want to get baptized. And, you know, I want to get baptized where Jesus got baptized. And they don't sound like that, but we'll do these trips. And I used to do them for Bible college students and Bible college professors. And all of a sudden I'd be there and they're like, are we going to get baptized in the Jordan River? And I was like, okay, all right, you know, you're leading churches, but if you want it, so it was meaningful for them. So at first I used to do it like that, and then I was like, no way, man, this is a great thing. And I'm like, man, remember what Jesus did for you. Remember you dedicated your life to him. Remember that God's not gonna fail you. And we would baptize them and people would just be excited, and maybe you'll never get the chance to get baptized in the Jordan River, but it looks different. But being baptized in Jesus is what's important. Now, there's a whole background. In fact, when it comes to Jesus' baptism, this is a picture and a new write-up. Look at that right there. This is actually the oldest picture of the baptism of Jesus in the world. In the world. It dates back to around 250 AD. Oldest one in the world. Trust me. You're just going to have to trust me on this. This is my spot. But if you notice, the person drew it up a little bit clearer there. What? First of all, Jesus is naked. We're not requiring that of anybody to be baptized here today. That's not necessary. But, except for Rich DeRosa, we're going to have to require that of him. Sorry about that. But look at what's happening here. John the Baptist is on the shore. He's on the shore, and he's giving Jesus a hand out of the water. Well, that's kind of weird, because I always saw baptism as like, you'll see someone in the tank, they'll cross their arms, they'll say, use your right hand to pinch your nose, otherwise you get a water brain freeze when you dip back too far, and hold your breath, somebody lowers you in there. Like, where did this whole jam come from? Well, we didn't only inherit the Messiah from the Jewish people, who they were waiting for, but we inherited baptism. In Judaism, you would have a thing that they called in fact, I'm going to teach you a Hebrew word, and I want you to try it out on someone. Mikvaot. Mikvaot. Turn to your husband and tell him mikvaot. Yeah, you're going to try it? Rubber baby buggy bumper. Mikvaot. That literally means the gathering of waters, a big pile of water. And it is first seen in the Bible when God says, let's separate the land from the waters. And the waters were gathered together. And the Jewish people thought, God made a separation between water and land. And it was a whole process. And I there's too many things that I don't want to get into. But by the way, pause. How many of you are like, it's really hot in here today? I'm not talking about hell today. But I did want it to be comfortable for those of you getting baptized. So you're welcome. You know, so this is for those in shorts. In fact, Jewish people would baptize or immerse, and they would do it themselves. No one would be in the tank. They would pinch their nose. They would go down, and they would do it, in some cases, three times. And then they would walk out, and I don't want to do a teaching on Judaism and baptism and immersion, but they would do it for instance, you were cleansed of leprosy, if you had a funeral gathering and everybody drank, well, somebody might have touched the body, and so if they had a stone vessel, they would immerse it, and it was purified, and it was a ritual thing. And in fact, if you came to the Jewish faith, now this is before Jesus steps on the scene, you would be a proselyte, you'd be a convert to the God of Israel, and you would walk into the gathering waters. Listen to this language that we share with the Jewish faith that we actually have from the Jewish people. We have it from them. It's not ours, it's theirs. They called this, listen to this, the womb of the world, where you were born again in newness of life. Where you came out in newness of life. Guess what the name of all the people who witnessed this were called? The family of God. It was as if when you came to faith in the God of Israel, when we come to faith in the God of Israel through Jesus Christ, his son, and we are baptized, we are born again into newness of life. It is like you have just entered a new family. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Some people had these in their home. At the temple, they had tons of these all around. In fact, before you had to go to church in Israel's time, you had to dip yourself in one of these to ritually purify yourself. It wasn't just used for conversion, but this is what we as Gentile Christians have received from the Jewish faith, that conversion baptism. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Here's this guy, he's preaching, and he tells everybody, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's near. And people were like, oh my goodness, what do I need to do? And he was like, be baptized. Well, they would baptize all the time when they went to church, when they had unclean vessels, when they were, you know, all those kind of things. But they would do this because it was also a way of saying, I believe the message. I believe the God of Israel. I am all in. You tracking this? Here's where it changes gears. Happens in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans is trying to help people understand the Christian faith. And he's talking about, what is it to be saved? How do I become a Christian? When I become a Christian, how do I stay a Christian? When I'm a Christian, what if I sin? If I sin, like, what do I do with that? And what does the cross mean? What does the water of baptism mean? In the first few chapters, he goes through and he says this. He says he tells in the book of Romans and in the New Testament, he says, there's nobody righteous, not one. I don't care who you are. I don't know where you came from. I don't care what church you come from. I don't care how good of a person you are apart from church. There is nobody on the planet, no one who can say that they have a clean life before God. You want to figure it out? Let's go through the test here. I could have everyone rhetorically here stand up in this room. I could say, how many of you have ever murdered someone? Sit down. There'd probably be about 10 people that sit down. We're a rough church. And so then, I'm just kidding. Then I might say, how many of you have committed adultery? And then there would be people that would be like, nobody would sit down because nobody wants to expose that about their life, right? And then we'd be going through, and everybody that are still standing would feel really proud, right? And then I'd have to ask you, how many of you have ever stolen anything, even if it's a paperclip? And then a bunch of you would have to sit down. And then I'd ask the question, I'd say, how many of you ever dishonored your parents? By that time, everyone in this room would be sitting down. God said, there's no one righteous, not one. Different strokes for different folks. It's like having a glass jar. It doesn't matter if you break it in the adultery place, the murder place, the jealousy place, the covetous place, putting God last or second or third, wherever, what it is, we can't exchange vices, but there's nobody in here, and there is nobody on earth that's righteous enough to make it to heaven. And God said, that's my son, that's my daughter, how do I save them? And this is where Jesus says, I will go and I will be the sacrifice. So the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and so Jesus came and lived a holy, pure life, allowed himself to be crucified on the cross, and then rose from the dead on Easter morning, which we just celebrated. Now here's the trick. There are a lot of religions in the world that tell you that they are good for you, that you're a good person, you're great, how to be a good, more spiritual person. None of them offer to beat the one enemy that every single one of us will be defeated by, and that is death, except Jesus Christ. What is heaven? What is Christianity? Christianity is a holy God who made man and made an exchange by dying on the cross, taking that penalty for us. And he says, if you will come before me and simply be honest and say, I'm not worthy. I have sin in my life. Listen, you can't have enough good days to balance out the bad days. You come before God and you lay your life at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Be my Savior. God says, welcome to the family of heaven. Welcome to the kingdom of God. That's what the cross is about. But what about baptism? What in the world's with that? Baptism is actually helping you and I connect with what Jesus did on the cross. Listen to this. Romans 6, 1 through 7. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so grace may increase? What, are you crazy? That's what Paul writes. In other words, he's saying this. He's saying, every single one of us in this room today, if you want a clean life before you leave here today, before we end this message, we can pray a prayer and your life will be clean before God. You can never do it by having enough good days. You can never do it by doing enough good deeds, but God will make an exchange with you and he'll make that happen. And so this person in the book of Romans is saying to himself, well, hey, listen, if God forgives me my sins, right, then why don't I just begin sinning a lot? Because, like, I can totally do this all day long. And the Apostle Paul says, listen, you don't get freed from your sins so you can live any way you want. What, are you crazy? Shall I go on, what should we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? No. What are the, for those who have died to sin, how can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? In other words, this is a symbolism of that when Jesus walked up and into the cross, when you're walking into there, it's as if you're taking that place that Jesus took for you. When he was put in the grave and you're under the water, it's as if you are being buried with Jesus. And when you come out, you're living a new life. You're free. You're clean. Wait a second, I'm not clean. No, but you are clean. You know why? Because Jesus paid for your cleaning on the cross. But I'm not perfect. God doesn't want you to be perfect. He just wants you to be his. He wants you, like a toddler, to learn how to walk a mature life. Today, baptism, if you get baptized today and you disappear, it's worthless for you. If you get baptized and you're like, okay, I'm good. No, you're going to move out. What should we say? Should we go on sinning so that grace may increase? No, you need to learn what it is to walk before God. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united to him in resurrection like this. I know this will sound crazy. I know this will sound difficult for those of you that have, if you've grown up in the Catholic Church or the Pentecostal Church where legalism abounds, this will struggle for you to hear it. But the cross is worthless without the resurrection of Jesus. And the center of the story of Jesus is not the cross. The cross is the bridge, and it is a necessary bridge. Any Christianity without the cross is not Christianity. But Christianity that stops at the cross and comes back to the cross and never moves on into the tomb and out in a resurrected new life, that is the whole gospel. In other words, what Jesus says, imagine if you could have somebody take a $1 million life insurance policy on you. And then they say this, I'm going to die, but I'm going to die as if I'm you. And you're going to live off of that $1 million policy for the rest of your life. What? In other words, Jesus says, I'm going to pay the price of a shameful death that really is deserved, that is yours. The wages of sin is death. Doesn't matter whether you've dishonored your parents, murdered a person, and I'm going to make it as if you have never sinned. And if we're united with Jesus in baptism, how much more in resurrection? Listen, eternity and the kingdom of heaven is this one. God looks at the universe and he says this, mine. There have been kingdoms that have come and gone. There have been rulers that have ruled and died. There are people who said that they would destroy the faith of Christ and the Bible, and they're dead, and the Bible continues to go on. In fact, Voltaire, a philosopher in I believe it's France, said that he would see that the Bible was it would cease and become an irrelevant book. His building where he used to make his foolish philosophies from is now used by a Bible publishing society and is producing Bibles. It just goes to... And that's a little choppy historically, but that's what's going on. And when we're talking about baptism, it happened a lot of different ways. In fact, the Christians began to comb like four cedars, and four people would get in, and then one person would go to the end and they dip. In fact, there's a rim around here. We could technically put everybody in there and do it. But we like the idea of having somebody there baptizing them that means something to them, because we want to send a message that says, you are not in this alone. You become a part of a family. You need us and we need you to walk out this walk. And when you need grace in your life, when you like a toddler trip and fall and mess up, we're not going to be there to say, huh, you made your bed, sleep in it. Nope. We're going to lift you up and say, oh, you can do this. You can do this. And when you begin to jog and you feel like giving up, God's going to be in the stands and we're going to be there with him saying, keep running. Run, Forrest, run. You've got this. You, my friends who are getting baptized today, are mature. You're bold. You're making a choice for yourself. Here's an interesting thing. One more picture on baptism, and then we're going to jump right into this. This is the second and third oldest picture of baptism. And if you notice, the man over there, he's got sprinkles coming down on him, right? Where the other guy, it's kind of like Jesus, but it's more like a younger person getting baptized. They used to do this in the early church where you would say, hey, I want to become a Christian. They'd say, okay, all right. Well, first you need to learn about being a Christian. So then they'd teach you, and you would do this process for a while. And then they'd say, all right, we think you're ready. Let's do baptism. Are you willing to step into this? And then you would be baptized, and then you would continue with more teaching. And then after that, they'd say, we think you're ready to take communion now because you understand what's going on, and you're not just taking a cup and a sip and saying, I'm all good, praise God, and living your life anyway, but we want to make sure you're living a Christian life. We're in the Bible. Both baptism and communion are available to anyone at any time that makes that decision to do it. In fact, there was a guy, Philip, one time that's walking on the road, and there's a man he's in a cart, and so it was like the ancient car. He's riding their horses in front of it, and he hears him reading the book of Isaiah, and he begins to explain how everything that Isaiah was talking about Jesus. And the man in the cart says, puts his book closed, and he says, what stops me from being baptized? And this guy, Philip, says, absolutely nothing. You know what? If you're here today and you're like, I get it. I believe Jesus. I want Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I'm here today, and you know what? I need a new life because the way I've been living mine is actually destroying my life and my family's life around me. I need Jesus and I need other people around me. I want to be part of a family. I need to move from my father who used to yell at me to a heavenly father begin to cheer me. You may say to yourself right here, shoot, I'd get baptized if I want to. Guess what? Just like Philip and that guy in the cart said, what stopped me from being baptized today? Nothing stopped you. In fact, we've got towels and we've got a couple of extra outfits that if all of a sudden you're here and you're saying, I want to get baptized. I want to do this. I want in on this. You just simply come up and go right up to Pastor Dylan or right up to the tank and say, I think I want with that. And then one of our ushers, one of our people will help you. Ben is somewhere in here and he'll guide you to where that change of clothes is and you can just take the plunge. But we want you to know what you're doing. We want you to understand that a Christian is not somebody who prays, confesses their sins, and lives a perfect life from that moment forward. A Christian is somebody who says, I believe, and I need God to forgive me of the wrong in my life. God, all of it. There isn't enough time for us to confess everything to God, and he knows it all anyway. But to be able to say, Jesus, here's my life. Please forgive me. In fact, across this room, pray this with me. Just listen to my prayer, but if that's you, you just kind of say it with your lips quietly to God. Jesus, I'm a sinful person. My life I can't get it together. I have sin in my life. I need your help. If what he's saying is true, I want that. If you died for me in that cross in my place, I need that. If you promised that just as you rose from the dead, that I will be with you for all eternity in a place that is greater than anything or any life on this earth could ever be, I want that. Forgive me of my sins. Be Lord of my life. You rose from the dead. If you mean that and you buy into that, you're a part of the family of God. That's what Christianity is. You see, if you're anything like me,
After I came to Christ and I began to repent and I began to ask God to forgive me, and then I began to realize some sins instantly disappeared from my life. Some addictions were gone like that. You know what the hardest thing for me to get rid of, and not necessarily saying that smoking is something that will send you to hell. I used to tell my dad when he would smoke, I say, Dad, you're not going to hell. Why do you want to smell like you've been there? You know? But like one of the hardest addictions for me to get rid of was smoking. But I didn't do intravenous heroin, but I did just about everything else. But somehow God supernaturally just, you know, did that. And other people who had sexual addictions or abusive addictions, and they begin to get help and heal from the hurt, or, you know, or have honesty problems, you know. There were some things that just instantly changed for me, and other things that God said, you know what, just like you work up to a marathon in your life, Paul, I want you to work out. It says it like this in the Bible, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that's how it happens. But look at this guy that's getting sprinkled here. Why in the world is that? How many of you have grown up like me in the Catholic Church? Wave your hand here. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. My grandfather was an Irish Catholic. We went to Mass every day. And I always wondered why, when it was like in service, they take the water ball. You ever see that? And they just start sprinkling everybody. That guy was a ninja with it, man. If you came at him with a knife, he'd be like, and then he'd baptize you at the same time. Those fathers had this thing down where they were just doing the water thing. And I was like, what in the world is that? Here's the oldest version of baptism is the Jewish version where you'd go in and immerse yourself. But as time went by, people started coming alongside people. And then as it evolved, this is the earliest Christian church book. Like if we were to write up for you a book that says, how do you become a Christian? What is baptism about? Somebody wrote this thing called the Didache, or the Teachings of the 12 Apostles. And he says, concerning baptism, you should do it like this. After reciting these things, they would teach them things like what I just talked about with you about now, about what Christianity and salvation is. And they'd baptize you. It says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's not in the Old Testament. That's the words of Jesus from Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And you do it in water. But if you do not have living water, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Jesus said, anyone who comes to me and drinks the water I have, springs of living water will well up inside of them. Living water is fresh water, a natural spring, a flowing river. So they would say, the best place for you to get baptized is in a river. Guess where they also baptized people? They baptized them in the Jordan, in the Sea of Galilee. And not only in the Jordan River, in the Sea of Galilee, and then when they couldn't do it, they made these little gathering pools, these mikvahs, or these baptismal tanks. They'd do it there. And then if that didn't work, he says, but if you have neither of these, sprinkle water on their head in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But before you baptize them, fast. We don't require that of you. How many of you are grateful we didn't say no Chick-fil-A for you yesterday? And fast, and others also who are able with them, and baptize for 2 days, fast for 2 days, and then you get baptized, and blah, blah, blah. Now, that's not in the Bible, and that's not, but they're quoting the Bible, and they're trying to tell people, hey, this is how it works. The reason I say this is because we have a precious person today who's getting baptized because of their physical challenges. They can't get in the tank, so you know what we're doing? Sprinkle, sprinkle, sprinkle. And guess what? It's good enough. It's good enough, isn't it? Like somebody comes up to you and says, listen, I buy this thing. Jesus, I want him to be Lord of my life. My life's a mess. And I can't even promise I'm going to get it together. And I need somebody that's going to be patient with me. Hey, you found the right person. His name is Jesus. You found the right people. They're the family of God. And then they say, welcome to the family of God. Here it is. And then you're like, oh, how do I get baptized? I can't, I'm allergic to water. It's how do you get middle school students to get baptized? It's a miracle, right? We can sprinkle you. Good enough. Good enough. That's baptism. That's baptism. Listen, here it is again. What you're doing is you're doing a process that says, just like Jesus was on the cross, we trade places. Just as Jesus went in the grave, I go under the water. Just as Jesus rose from the dead, I'm coming out of here a new person. Although I will not be perfect, although I will not dare to try and say I won't make mistakes, I'm going to walk not in perfection, but I'm going to walk a life around with and among followers of Christ who are going to have grace and mercy on me so that eventually, sooner or later, these things will stop taking place in my life and I will no longer be a person who walks in sin, but I'll be a person who walks in the love and the grace and the mercy of God. You see, God doesn't make us a better person by shaming us into being a person that's better. He makes us a better person by taking us where we're at and gracing us into who we can become. That's your Heavenly Father. Listen, this is my son. This is my daughter. I'm so pleased with you. I'm so pleased with her. I'm so pleased with him. We are proud of you that are getting baptized today. This is what it means. This is the step they're taking. And at this time, I'm going to step out of the way. And Pastor Dylan's going to come forward. And we are going to begin to baptize.
All right, everybody. Well, if you haven't been to a baptism here before, we do it a little different than most churches because, well, we're not most churches. I'm not baptizing these people. We're all baptizing these people. Oof, can I get those fillers turned off? That's a little hot. So what's going to happen is when somebody steps in the tank or before we baptize them, I'm going to give you the signal. You ready? Here's the signal. I'm going to give this to you, and then you're going to repeat after me, "We baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." You're going to say it out loud. So let's try it once. Do a little dry run. You ready? We baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's great. First up today, I have Robert here with us. Now, as Pastor Paul said, Robert struggles with ALS, and it's brave that somebody with a disability is here because we want to honor him, not because he was able to climb into a tank. As the Didache says, the early Christians were about practicality, not forms and methods. It's not the way you do it that's sacred. It's the faith in your heart that's sacred. And so we're going to baptize you, Robert, right here, right now, outside the tank. I'm going to sprinkle you three times. There's a splash zone behind you. I apologize to nobody. All right. All right, here you go, guys. Here's the signal. We baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I hope I didn't hit Jamil behind him, but you never know what happens. Got that, Kayla? You good? Helping me today is Kayla Davidson, one of our children's leaders. We're very excited to have her in the tank. This is your first time baptizing people, right, Kayla? Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting. And then helping out all of our baptism candidates today is one of our deacons, Ben Sweeney. Really grateful for you, Ben. So first up, we have the son of Robert, Anthony, getting baptized today. Come on in, man. Just watch your step, man. It's slippery. We don't want you to get pre-baptized. Just take another step down there. There you go. Go ahead and face the audience. Take one step forward for me. All right, I have two questions for you, Anthony. Do you believe Jesus is your Savior and Lord?
Yes.
And do you commit to follow him for all your days?
Yes.
Based on your profession, we're going to baptize you. See him this morning, but I still want to give the invitation. Is Stephen Cattaray here? Stephen Cattaray. Do I see Stephen? No, Stephen. All right, we're going to move on to the next one. Do I have next up Justin? I did see Justin. Where's Justin at? There he is. Come on down, Justin. Hello.
take a step down there. Yeah, bro, we heated this thing up. Hot tub. Take a step forward for me. Justin ended up here, I think, because Joel invited me. Is that right?
Yeah.
Joel's our evangelist, man. We love him. I got two questions for you, Justin. Do you believe Jesus is your Savior and Lord?
Yes, I do.
Do you commit to follow him for all your days?
For all my days.
Let's baptize you. Next up, I have Richard DeRozier. Richard, come on. Richard's trying to baptize us. Good, take a step forward, Richard. No. I had the honor of doing the vow renewal of Richard and his wife, and then shortly later she passed away. And Richard, I just want to say you've inspired my faith by showing me that in suffering you don't have to give up, you can press forward. We're proud of you, man. We're very proud of you. Take a step forward for me. Richard, do you believe that Jesus is your Savior and Lord?
Yes.
And do you commit to follow him all your days?
Yes.
And we're going to baptize him. Next up, we have Patty. Just go ahead and take one. It's appropriate that Kayla is helping me baptize today because Patty came to our church just to support Kayla when she was preaching for her first time here. And she never left. So she's here. We're proud of you, Patty. Go ahead and take a step forward for me. One more. Patty, do you believe Jesus is your Savior and Lord?
Yes, I do.
Do you commit to follow him all your days?
Yes, I do.
Then we're going to baptize you. Next up, seventh in line because it's the seventh and it's his birthday. Winston, you're up next, man. One more step down. There you go, man. Winston ended up here largely in part because of Jim running Celebrate Recovery. And he's become a part of our ministry there. He's been sharing his testimony, and we're just grateful of what God's doing in your life, man. We're proud of you. Today's his birthday and his new spiritual birthday. So, Winston, do you believe Jesus is your Savior and Lord?
Yes, I do.
And do you commit to follow him all your days?
Yes, I do.
Let's baptize him. Sammy. Now, Sammy is a UConn fan, but we're not going to hold that against him this morning. He's still welcome in this family, come on. This is Sam's first Sunday with us. He came out of a Muslim background, and he was just reading the Bible and felt the love and the warmth of Jesus, and we're here to celebrate that. And brother, I just got to say, whatever you don't have in the past, you have in the future with the family of God here. That's where we are. So we're going to baptize you. Sammy, do you believe that Jesus is your Savior and Lord?
Absolutely.
And do you commit to follow him all your days?
Absolutely.
Let's baptize him. Next up, we got Elsa Bryce. Give it up for her. It's a little slippy there, isn't it? Yeah. You can take a step forward for me. Elsa, we're just so grateful to be a part of what God's doing in your life. And I just have two questions for you today. Do you believe Jesus is your Savior and Lord?
Yes.
And do you commit to follow him all your days?
Yes.
We're going to baptize you. Next up, I have Carmen. Carmen. She is. Gotcha. Just one more step down. You got this. There you go. You can face the audience. Carmen said the water's warm. If any of you, this is your first Sunday too, you want to get baptized, we preheat this baby. Carmen, I have two questions for you. Do you believe Jesus is your Savior and Lord?
I do.
And do you commit to follow him for all your days?
Yes.
And we're going to baptize you. A gym membership when you go to a church, right? Get my reps in. I have Kathy up next. I didn't see her this morning, but I still wanted to put the invitation out. Do I see Kathy anywhere? Kathy. Maybe your name's Kathy and you just want to be baptized today. We have a spot for you. No? No Kathy? All right. All right, next up I have Liliana. Lily, come on down. Excited that the work Pastor Kev's doing there, and Lily, we're excited for what God's doing in your life. So I just have two questions for you. Do you believe Jesus is your Savior and Lord?
Yes, I do.
And do you commit to follow him all your days?
Yes, I do.
Let's baptize you. But I want to give the invitation. It's Albert Ramos here. Albert Ramos. Albert Ramos. All right, no, no Albert. Do I have Aaliyah? Aaliyah Pierre. Aaliyah. Aaliyah. She goes, this is like a hot tub. Yes, it is. I got baptized in ice cold water. I'm never doing that to somebody. Aaliyah's part of our youth group as well, and we're just honored to see what God's doing in your life, Aaliyah, and we're excited to see where he takes you next. I have two questions for you. Do you believe Jesus is your Savior and Lord?
Yes.
And do you commit to follow him all your days?
I do.
Let's baptize you. Next up, we have Jerlene. She just decided. Jerlene. That's a great shirt to get baptized in. Pray on it, pray over it, pray through it. I love it. Take a step for me there, Jerlene. Jerlene, I have two questions for you. Do you believe Jesus is your Savior and Lord?
Yes.
And do you commit to follow him all your days?
Yes.
We're going to baptize you. Next up, I have Emmalyn. Church, who Pastor Kayla oversees. And Emmalyn, I have two questions for you today. Number one, do you believe Jesus is your Savior and Lord?
Yes.
And do you commit to follow him all your days?
Yes.
And we're going to baptize you. This time, my wife, Monica Music, is going to come help me baptize somebody. The reason Monica's here today is because our next baptism candidate requested her specifically to be the one to baptize her. So, Christina, come on in. We're going to baptize you. Christina's been a part of our church for a number of years, and God's timing is different in everybody's life, but we're excited that you've taken this step today, Christina. So, we have two questions for you. Do you believe Jesus is your Savior and Lord?
I do.
And do you commit to follow him all of your days?
I do.
And we're going to baptize him.
We put it out there if anyone wanted to be baptized that they could, and one person came up, and so we're going to ask you to come forward real quick. We're ready to, I think she actually slipped into the, she already got in. So we had somebody that came forward, and they already got in. Listen, can we give our candidates just a thunderous applause? Welcome to the family of God. Well, communion would make sense if we had time, but we don't.
What we do have time for, though, is for us to close in prayer. And immediately following service, all the way from here, all the way to the back of the building, are tables that are set up. If you're a leader, you might want to make your way there now. But there are tables that are set up and ways and places that you can serve in this church. And if you, listen, let me tell you what, you know where we would love to see people? If you are a man, especially, that can roar, we would love your voice up here. If you're a musician, we would love your instrument here. If you are good at making people feel welcome, we would love you to greet and usher. If you have an eye for security and you love making sure people are safe and you have the skill set to do it, we would love you as well. There's 1,000 places to serve in this church. We believe this: find a need and meet it, find a hurt and heal it, find the joy of serving, because if you find the joy of serving, you will never want to be served again. Let me tell you something about the last candidate, one of the last candidates that got baptized. His name slips me now. I want to say it was Rob, but that young man that came to the from the Muslim faith to Jesus. Just yesterday, I conducted the funeral of a friend, and his wife was a Muslim from Morocco, and somebody shared the gospel with her after she had had dreams after dream after dream after dream of Jesus trying to reveal himself to her. And then she began to discuss with somebody about it, and she began to read the Bible, and she knelt down and she said, "Jesus, here's my life. I give it to you. I walk back from Allah and I step into Jesus Christ. Be my Savior, be my Lord." Her family disowned her. Her brother threatened to kill her husband. He said, "You know, according to the laws of Allah, I could kill you and be justified." Well, after a long, bumpy road, finally the family began to welcome them back. That young man that gave himself to Jesus today, I could go and do a crusade in Africa or in India and have 100,000 people raise their hand to give their life to Jesus. You could spend a decade in the Middle East and it would be an accomplishment to lead 3 people to Jesus as Lord. They are a part of our family. They need us and we need them. Listen, just because that's his story doesn't mean that any of the other people have not made their share of sacrifices. But Jesus puts it like this: anyone who would come after me must take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. We're here today. Stand with me. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're here today to tell you that we rise and kneel to the name of Jesus. We thank you that you've done for us what we can't. You've given us righteousness and access to the Father, that we can come boldly before your throne. You've cleansed us, and you continue to accept us in our imperfections. And Lord, we don't know if we will live a perfect life, but we know that it will be a perfect direction towards, to, and for you. Continue to make us the person that looks like you. And each step of the way, we'll continue like a toddler, allowing you to pick us up in grace, not in shame and disgrace, and to follow you. Lord, I pray for these people that were baptized today, that you would just shower their life with goodness and mercy and grace, that we would begin to open our hearts and our homes to people, and that they would know that they are not alone, but they are a part of the family of God. We give you all the glory and the praise. Let's give a clap and a thunderous thank you to Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We glorify you, Jesus. We thank you. You are Lord, and you are merciful. As the band plays, you are free to sit and sing. You are free to hug some of these people that have been dipped and sprinkled. And you are encouraged to go to those tables. Find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Find the joy of serving. Get off your rusty dusty, as my South African friend said, and go serve Jesus. God bless you. Thank you one more time for those baptizos.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you missed any part of this sermon or you want to catch it again, you can do so by going to Apple Podcast, YouTube, or Spotify. And I also encourage you to go to lowellag.org or ne-cc.org if you want to stay up to date on everything we have going on. God bless, and we'll see you next week.